My last study, I was in 2 Timothy 2, 17 through 19, and I felt the need to go back over to 19 and go expand on it a little bit, because that's such a telling verse. So nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's such a loaded verse, because the sealing is something that is from God. And the Lord knows them that are his. And I went through the seal. It's phrygizda. It's with the article. And it's metaphorically identifying authentication and way to recognize. And the foundation is God's firm foundation. You can't get a stronger foundation than that our Heavenly Father has laid down. Now, in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, and I went over this last week, I'm going to go over this verse and one in John, just to come into my study tonight. But many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hast cast out devils? Question. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. This is Christ. The people that were doing all these so-called miracles never knew Christ. They were just doing it for the recognition. We can see that today as well as throughout Scripture. Christ says, I never knew you. Depart me, ye that work iniquity. And then in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. Again, the Lord emphasizes that he knows those that are called to be his, and he knows that they recognize him. They know him even when they haven't even seen him, just like with us. No one here has ever laid eyes on our Lord and Savior, but yet we read about it constantly in Scripture, how they see the miracles, seen it firsthand, but never believed a word the man says. In John 10:27-30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It's solid. This seal is a seal that can't be taken away for those that earnestly know the Lord and the works that he did for them and the world. My Father which giveth them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Praise God. Now, my study tonight is going to be still in John, which is a previous dispensation, but it's going to be resurrection, which throughout John, that's what Christ preaches, is resurrection. Well, don't isn't most all Scripture in the New Testament about resurrection? Yes, it is. But my focus is going to be from John 6:26 down to John, believe it or not, 6:66. And we all know that that's not that good of a number, as a lot of people recognize the number 666 as the mark of the beast. And John 666 is not a very good verse, because it says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Believe it or not, they are those that seen his miracles and still turned their back on Christ. My last study was on how people turned their back on Paul. Constantly people turning their back on Paul. And here in John, the disciples that seen the miracles firsthand turned their back on Christ. So let's go to John 6:26, and mind you, to lead up to this, the miracle the day before Christ is when he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And when it was all said and done, they took the baskets and received 12 baskets of bread and then 7 baskets of meat fragments. So the baskets that were received were multiplied, I don't even know how much, because I didn't sit down and do the math, but it's a miracle within itself. And of all these people that were on this side of the lake, they were ready to make Christ their king right then and there. But Christ knew that they couldn't do that, and he left. And they didn't know where he went. But the next day, the disciples decided to go across the lake and or go to the other side, and they got a boat and went out so many furlongs, and I did the math on that, and it wound up being 3 miles out, and a storm came up. And while the storm was there, they were scared. They know they was going to die. Well, here come Christ walking up. Soon, and you know, it's pitch black, stormy. Christ walks up and gets into their ship, and immediately did the waves stop? No. Immediately they were on the other side, just that fast. Another miraculous miracle of Christ, just constant. So in verse 27, I guess I need to read 26. I don't have it in front of me. Chip, what's John 6:26? There it is. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, see, now this, the people that he's speaking to here are a remnant of the 5,000, okay? The 5,000 are on the other side of the lake, and they only had so many boats that they could, you know, to ship on. So there was just a remnant. I can't remember if it says how many, but probably 60 or 70 were there. And they were saying, you know, well, where you been? They found him. And they said, well, where you been? And then Jesus said in 26, and verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for that meat which perisheth. And that is just people food. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, that's spiritual food. That's the word of God, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the Father sealed. Now this seal is phragesen, literally to seal up by putting a seal on, And God the Father put this seal upon His Son. Now, this entire verses of 6:26 through 66 is about resurrection and about Christ giving Himself up. So, personally, and I might be wrong here, but I see this particular seal is the sacrificial seal that God has put on Christ, because Christ knew what He was to do, the will of the Father, and that will is to be put on the cross and to suffer for the sins of the world. But Adam Clark's commentary has, "Him hath God the Father sealed by this expression. Our Lord points out to the commission which, as Messiah, He received from the Father to be prophet and priest to an ignorant, sinful world, and wishes to communicate His mind to another who is at a distance, writes a letter, seals it with His own seal, and sends it directed to the person from whom it's written. So Christ, Son of God, came to interpret the divine will to man, bearing the image, the superscription, and seal of God. In the immaculate holiness of His nature, unsoiled truth of His doctrine, and in the astonishing evidences of His miracles, but He came also as a priest to make an atonement for sin, and the bread which nourishes us unto eternal life, He tells us in John, is His body, which He gives for the life of the world as the living bread. And to His sacrifice of Himself, the words, Him hath God the Father sealed, seemed especially to relate. It certainly was a custom among nations contiguous to Judea to set up a seal upon the victim which was deemed proper for sacrifice. The following account of the method of providing white bulls among the Egyptians for sacrifices to their gods, little g, taken from Herodias, Euterpe, cast much light upon this place. They sacrifice white bulls to, and for that reason make the following trial. If they found one black hair upon him, they consider him as unclean. And that they may know this with certainty, the priest appointed for this purpose used every part of the animal, both standing and lying on the ground. After this, he draws out his tongue to see if he be clean by certain signs. In the last place, he looks upon the hairs of his tail and makes sure there is by nature they should be. If after this search the bull is found unblemished, just one hair out of place, he signifies it by tying a label to his horns. Then, having applied wax, he seals it with his ring, and they lead him away. For his death to sacrifice one of these animals, unless we have marked with such a seal. The Jews that are here among Christ could not be unacquainted with the rites and ceremonies of the Egyptian worship, and it is possible that such precautions as these were used among themselves, especially as they were to strictly enjoin to have their sacrifices without spot and without blemish. Infinite justice found Jesus Christ to be without spot or blemish, and therefore sealed, pointed out, and accepted Him as a proper sacrifice and atonement for the sins of the whole world. In John 6:28, then they said unto Him, what would we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him, Christ, who He, God, has sent. This is the work of faith. And this believe on Him is used 8 times in John. Go figure. 8 times it's used. Believe on Him, and 8 times, that's the number of resurrection. John 6:30. They said therefore unto Him, what signs showest Thou then that we may see and believe Thee? What dost Thou work? Oh, Lord, same old, same old, same. The day before, they just saw Christ perform a miracle that has not been performed by any human being whatsoever. But yet they're questioning Christ, the Son of God. Right now, he's done professed to be the Son of God. They've done been told that He's the Son of God by John the Baptist. This is one example as to how so-called Christians follow as long as they're getting something in return. Food, financial backing, housing, etc., etc. These people that witness and receive nourishment from the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, just another testimony of lack of faith. They were not satisfied with the bread and the fish for one meal after thinking back that Moses, I mean, we'll get there, because in 6:31, Christ or the Israelites said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He, Moses, gave them bread from heaven to eat. But Moses fed these people on a daily basis. Well, not God fed these people. I'm sorry, God fed these people. He sent enough manna for these people to eat on daily. And these people are giving Moses the credit. Whereas Moses was the utensil that asked prayer. He was the go-between. And God gave their manna. And here, these people, at this time, now they want Christ to do the same thing. They want Christ to feed them every day. And then Jesus said unto them in 32, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that true bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. God gave the bread, Moses prayed, and the Father obliged. In 6:33, for the bread of God is He, Christ, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the cosmos, the world. Notice here the world, Gentiles, is mentioned, not just Israel. Used by John to show that Gentiles will be included in Israel's blessings. In 34, then said they unto him, this is the Israelites, Lord, evermore at all times, give us this bread. Like I said, They want this bread continuously, over and over and over again. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. There are no spiritual hungerings and thirstings after they are come to Christ. But they shall not desire any other food but Christ. They shall be satisfied with Him. Christ here will fulfill their needs to cover their sins. They don't need the earthly food. They just need the spiritual food for salvation. In 36, but I said, or epo, I say unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. Well, he's telling them right now, you've seen me and you don't believe. You've seen me yesterday do these miracles, but yet you still don't believe. In 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll it will in no wise cast out. That all is pos, including all forms of declension, a primary word, and it is given emphasis as to everybody that the Father giveth me. This is a type of sealing here that all that the Father giveth me, which included apparently none of these jokers in front of him, all the Father that giveth me shall come to me, and in him, and him that cometh to me will I in no wise cast out. In 38, for I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Three times you're going, his will, God's will. And that we can look back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The will of him that sent me. In 39, and this is the Father's will that sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. And we see that in chapter 17 when Christ is praying. He said that all that thou hast given me, I have lost none, save the son of perdition, but should raise it up again at the last day. In 640, and this is the will of him that sent me. Again, this is the third time. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. Now, we haven't seen him, but these people that are in front of him, well, they're looking directly at him. And like I said before, they've done seen the miracles that he performed just the day before. But seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day, resurrection. This is the resurrection study. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the which came down from heaven. There they go, question. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, and his father and mother, we know? How is it then that he said, I come down from heaven? Showing their lack of faith again. The second time questioning Christ. In 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man, not any, Udis, nothing, nobody, none, any, neither any, never, no, no one, not at all, any time. No man can come to me except the Father hath sent me draw him. And I will rise him up in the last day. That word draw him is helkio. It's akin to the Greek form 138, which is at heromai, to take for oneself, to prefer, to choose. You hear that? To choose. So, except the Father which has sent me choose and bring, I will rise him up at the last day. So that we see that there's a choosing taking place. God brings the people to Christ. If you think about it, how many apostles came to Christ? He came to them. He picked them out. So they were picked by the Father. In 6:45, it is written in the prophets, all they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Here it denotes all without exception, taught of God. In Jeremiah 31:34, it says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This couldn't be no more truer today than it was the day when Jeremiah wrote it, or the day that Christ referred back to Jeremiah about the prophets. I can't think of any person today that hasn't heard the name of Jesus Christ. Now, unless it's some indigenous country that has never had a white man go through it, there's a possibility that there's some there. But in this United States of America, there is not one human being that hasn't heard the name of Jesus Christ and heard that the salvation message that He has. In Isaiah 54:13, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and the great shall be the peace of children. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught to love one another. The words are compounded. Love one another. This is the message of Christ. This is the message of Paul. This is the last of the commandments that I give you, the new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. This overrides all the other commandments. It overrides all the other laws. Anybody, like I said before, that knows the Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, knows that it's about love. It's not about another religion that teaches hate. If you don't believe us, you'll die. No Christian should have that mentality. If you don't believe my God, my Christ, I'm sorry for you. But I'm not going to kill you because of it. If any man eat of this bread, whether he uses the word eat, he exhorts us to faith, which alone enables us to enjoy His bread. In John 6:46, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, in 47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Again, this is the third time. I am the bread of life. In 48, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that any man eat thereof and not die. Resurrection. They will see life again. In 51, I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man can eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the CB note, it says, but the bread moreover which I will give, the omission of the particle D, hides the line of discussion. I will give this bread. This bread is my flesh. My flesh is my body, which I will give up at death. In John 6:52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Third time they questioned Christ. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the passion. This is the passion that Christ is pretty much saying here, but this is the passion that he's going to be going through. Flesh and blood receive his testimony as to why he came. Take it into your heart by faith of his shed blood. The eat and drink is the Hebrews use this expression with reference to knowledge by metonymy, where it is put for being alive. So eating and drinking denoting the operation of the mind and receiving the inwardly digestion truth of God's Word. No idiom was more common in the days of our Lord with them as with us. Eating included meaning enjoyment. As in Ecclesiastes, for riches cannot be eaten. And the Talmud actually speaks of eating or enjoying the years of the Messiah. And instead of finding any difficulty in the figure that they said that the days of Hezekiah were so good that the Messiah will come no mortal, for they have already devoured him in the days of Hezekiah. In Lightfoot, Volume 12, even where eating is used of devouring of enemies, it is the enjoyment of victory that is included. The Lord's word would be understood thus by the hearers, for they knew the idiom, but of the Eucharist they knew nothing and could not have thus understood them by comparing these verses. We see that believing on Christ was exactly the same thing as eating and drinking him. In John 55:56, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. When the sacrifice, looking at Leviticus 17:11, when sacrifices were given on the altar, in Leviticus, we see that the life is in the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I will give it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The blood is going to be the shed blood of Christ through his beatings, the scourgings, while he's on the cross and before he gets to the cross. That is the blood. The meat is himself hanging on the cross. In John 6:57, as the Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which come down from heaven the third time. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. In 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" And he says, "What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." In 65, "Therefore I say unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father." Sealed, this person sealed, a type of sealing. And verse 66. From that time, well, in 65, "Therefore I said unto you that no man can come to me except it were given of him, of my Father." This is the same verse that's in 64. In verse 644, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent him draw him." Remember, it's choosing, "unless the Father chooses him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And then in 65, he said, "Therefore I said unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father." Another choosing. And then John 6:66. "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." And then Christ turned around and said to his 12, "Will ye go away also?" It's hard for us, those of us that study and see Christ in this truth. We sit here and we read, actually see the physical Christ in these words that we're reading, because it's true. Christ is true. In Ephesians 6:14, this is going to be my closing verse. In Ephesians 6:14 talks about the armor of God. Oh, you got it, Jeff. "Therefore, stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and having your breastplate of righteousness." Your loins is the strongest part of your body. It's the inward part of your being. When you receive God's word, it strengthens your loins. Having your loins girt about with truth, with Christ. Christ is truth. God is truth. This word is truth. And having the breastplate of righteousness. I want to thank you guys. It's been a pleasure doing this study. It's always enjoyable to understand Christ and his what he has done for me and what God has done for me in choosing me from before the foundation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for this day. And Lord, for giving me this message and allowing me to be a part of it. And we thank you again, dear Lord, and we ask that you be with those that are on our hearts, whether it's a sickness, disease, or protection or guidance. Lord, we ask that you be with them. which in Christ's name I pray, amen.